Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide. My guest, we had to chase over to Ireland to catch up with Martin Galvin, who is the president of the Bronx Ancient Order of Hibernians, Irish-American political activist, and that's not even giving you full credit there, Martin, and a prominent criminal defense lawyer here in New York, in the Bronx, to be exact. Martin, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Adrian, as always.
Martin, I want to ask you about the fact-finding mission that you and, I understand about 50 members of the Ancient Order of Hibernians and the Ladies Ancient Order of Hibernians, a 10-day trip that just ended yesterday. What was that about, and what brought this about?
Adrian, a month ago, on St. Patrick's Day, the Congress voted a resolution, Resolution 888, which was for Bloody Sunday justice, but it also opposed any kind of British amnesty law, any kind of attempt to inhibit investigations, to stop the families of victims from getting the truth, the victims of British killings particularly, but of all killings, from getting the truth about what happened. We have been working on that issue with the Ancient Order of Hibernians for a long time, and we had planned a tour. It was going to be in Bloody Sunday, around Bloody Sunday. We had to postpone it, but we were able to do it over the last 10 days. 51 Americans, members of the Ancient Order of Hibernians, or Ladies Ancient Order of Hibernians, representing 14 different states, prominent members, myself, Sean Pender, Dan Dennehy, a number of other members of the National Board, Jerry Cole, the Secretary, Vice President Sean Pender, were here. Members of the Ladies Ancient Order of Hibernians, Madeline Madigan, the Ladies Vice President, Dolores Desch, the Freedom for All Ireland Chair, were here. And what we did was three things, essentially. First of all, we met with quite a number of victims' groups, including going to the family in Arbaugh, County Tyrone, an American citizen, somebody who lived in the United States for 10 years, was a close friend of mine, was well-known in the Irish community, who was killed in 1989, went through the facts there to show collusion and to trying to advance and get the truth for him. We went to Spring Hill, where five people, a Catholic priest, as well as three teenagers and someone going to the aid of the priest, were killed. Been waiting for an inquest for almost 40 years. We went to speak to a number of different groups involved with legacy and a legacy overview. And then we had a number of political meetings. We were in Derry. We met with, as well as meeting with the Bloody Sunday families, we met with the DUP mayor. We met with the city council. We met with officials there. But then we met with a number of high-level politicians in Dublin, including the American ambassador, Claire Cronin, including the Department of Foreign Affairs, Keir Madden, Helena Nolan was there in Ireland at the time for this meeting, with a high-level meeting, including representatives of all the political parties, Sinn Féin, but also Fine Gael. We saw Neil Richmond and Fergus O'Dowd, who's, if that last name's familiar, it's a brother of Neil O'Dowd. Very strong resemblance. You almost felt like you were talking to Neil. And yeah. In Fianna Fáil, Niall Blaney and Brendan Smith. And we were able to go through, to present all of the concerns that the families, the victims have, to present them to all of the political parties. British say they want to go ahead with these laws within the next 6 months. Irish America is aware and out and working as never before, as we haven't seen for a long time, against them, and we were able to get that information firsthand and then present it to those leading politicians, and now soon we'll be going back to the United States and rallying people across the country with what we've learned.
Martin, I want to ask you, first of all, with respect to Brexit and some of the we could call them shenanigans that are being played well, starting off with Boris Johnson and dribbling down to the point where I think most people would agree that with the war, Russia and Ukraine, that perhaps a number of items which they consider to be either not that important or embarrassing might be just shelved at this stage of the game. And, you know, the protocol, the legacy might just go away. After all, it's decades old. What is the read from your perspective and for those, the delegation of 50 in Ireland? A, were you welcomed, or, was this considered to be one more act of interference from America?
Adrian, I couldn't get over the reception that we got, right, not only from the victims. They were so pleased that we were, that Irish America was there, but also from every political party, as I said, whether it's Sinn Féin, whether it's from the Fine Gael, whether it's Fianna Fáil, the Ireland's Unity, or the Unity, those people who are working for Ireland's future to unite Ireland that way. Every group, when we were in Leinster House yesterday, the senator who welcomed us in, Frances Black, said she could not get over. She was arranging meetings for us. She said, wherever I asked, I said, the Ancient Order of Hibernians was here. Would you meet them? People were grateful for the opportunity. They were immediately rushed to meet us. That was the same thing true, whether it's the Irish government, every political party. And the reason was, they said, they know that Irish America is working very hard on this issue, on many other issues. They know that Irish America is active, as it hasn't been for a number of years. I think after a while, after the Good Friday Agreement, people thought that everything would work itself out and we didn't have to work as we had before to get to that point. And the high profile that Irish American groups have now, that resonates, that's witnessed, that's looked at. People said that the only reason the British legacy laws have not gone through already is they believe it's because of Irish America, the activism, and our ability to reach out to congressmen like Brendan Boyle or Congressman Keating, and to reach out to the administration itself. So I could not get over the welcoming reception that we had, how every party came forward, spent a great deal of time with us, listened to what we had learned, gave us their viewpoints, and all of them are opposed to any kind of British amnesty law. And I think it's all part, they all recognize this is all part of the same thing. The British have used the sectarian system. They still take advantage of that. The unionists don't even want to, if they finish second in the upcoming election, they don't want to share power with even just a token. It's not even a special difference between the first minister and the deputy first minister. But they don't even want to share power in a way in which nationalists would appear to be equal. They don't want to keep the protocol. They don't want to keep the trade agreement that they made for Brexit. They feel that they can keep going back and just disregard what they don't like, just as they've broken so many agreements in Ireland in the past. And that's what they're doing. A promised legacy, the Stormont House Agreement 6 years ago, promised it again, and now feel that they can just throw it out, take away rights of Irish people to get to the truth just when they're breaking through in places like the Ballymurphy inquest and getting the truth. And I could not be more pleased, more grateful for the time and reaction that we've got. And I could not be more enthused about going back to the United States and having people across the country spread the word about what we saw and becoming more active in future against these British amnesty laws.
Would it be fairly accurate to say that, again, your delegation and the reception that you received from the various political parties and indeed your meetings, that you come with clout. Ancient Order of Hibernian, very highly respected, but the message also for those who who you've met with, was that we have, you know, President Joe Biden, and we have a commitment from our side that, you know, no justice, no trade, and that that is probably something that sinks in. And whereas, you know, the British may feel that a lot of this stuff might go away, you know, in time or be delayed even further. British and American trade. Now, there have been plenty of hiccups, obviously, with Brexit, and some of them, you know, are unexpected, and others they should have known were about to, you know, to take place. But what part and how much does the threat of, again, no justice, no trade, what role does that play?
Adrian, you're exactly right. I think it's not just, and I my own organization, the Ancient Order of Hibernians, where I'm Freedom for All Ireland Chair, I'm proud of that, and the Ladies AOH, but also there are other Irish organizations, the Brehan Society, the Irish American Unity Conference, other Irish American organizations which are working on this. We've been working, they're very much aware in Ireland that about that House Resolution 888, that you can't unite the United States political parties, Republicans and Democrats, on almost anything. But yet on St. Patrick's Day, on voice vote, they can come together to support a strong resolution like that on Ireland. That, again, is because the Irish American community has made this issue a key issue, a bipartisan issue that brings together people on the left of the political spectrum and people on the right. They know that we're in touch with the administration. We're in touch with influential congressmen. They know that we are very active on the issue. And I think you're right again. The British thought that we'd get tired, that we do something, and then they just forget about it, and then they could push this through and satisfy the military community in England and just make them happy, keep Boris Johnson on because he needs a lot of help to stay as the prime minister. And we're not going away. We're not looking away. We're not getting tired. We go back. We meet with the victims. You hear the terrible stories, and these cut across generations. We were, for example, in Spring Hill, a young woman, 32, her grandfather was killed long before she was born. Her mother was only 3. And she said, this is something. If the British government wants to take away my right to get the truth, they branded my grandfather, somebody who had a gun when he did not. He was just going to help a priest. They will not have this go away. They feel this is a new injustice that is going to cut across generations. And every time when we do webinars, when we have programs, when we meet with them, those voices from Ireland, they touch our hearts. They make us want to do more. The Irish American community is not only not going to forget, but it's more active than it has been in many years, and it's going to stay active. And we have with Joe Biden, as Claire Cronin, our American ambassador, said, we have somebody who's with us, who's not going to let the British break their agreements and just get away with it, as they thought they might have been able to do.
A few of us actually have know Claire Cronin, the ambassador to Ireland, U.S. ambassador to Ireland. Yes, we've met her, but what kind of reception did you get, you know, at the residence of the U.S. ambassador?
Well, we met her at Leinster House, and we got a very good reception. As it turns out, the resolution that Congressman Keating had put forward, which was passed at the Ancient Order of Hibernians and other Irish American groups worked so hard on, that was done by Congressman Keating, who's a very close friend of hers, and also she is from the area. Plymouth, Massachusetts, AOH was the first one to suggest this resolution, and that is where her husband is from. She's very proud of the fact that she has very strong connections to situate, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, in Plymouth, Massachusetts. She felt very strongly about that and listened very closely. She was particularly interested in the case we were talking about a murder of an American citizen, Liam Ryan, in November 1989, and the fact that it was a call by Congressman Manton and others at that time for a State Department investigation. Nothing happened in those days. She's looking for, my Congressman Bowman and others are asking for or have thought about asking for an investigation now. So things like that. She was very receptive. She has very strong connections to the Irish community, obviously, and she couldn't have been more gracious to us.
Martin Galvin from Ireland, I want to ask you also about the presentation of actually more than $100,000 in Freedom for All Ireland grants. What was that, and how? What was the criteria for that?
Well, Adrian, the first thing is where those grants were presented. Just a little over 2 weeks ago, Simon Coveney, the Irish foreign minister, was supposed to address a peace cross-community event in the Hoban Center in Ardoyne on the grounds of Holy Cross Church. Father Gary Donegan has a peace center cross-community work in the Ardoyne section. And someone was kidnapped, threatened that they had to transport a bomb. It turned out to be a hoax, but that event was disrupted. And the Father Gary Donegan and the others asked us to make sure we were due to go and to the Hoban Center. We went back there last Tuesday and presented those grants just to show that the work, our work, the AOH, Ancient Order of Hibernians efforts there, and all of those efforts to support the Hoban Center are going to go forward. No one's intimidated by this. But we presented more than $100,000 in grants. The Ladies Ancient Order of Hibernians also presented separate grants to the same recipients. These are Freedom for All Ireland grants. There is a Christmas appeal. Our organization raises money around Christmas. We get applications. We awarded grants to 15 different groups. They would be groups like Relatives for Justice that work for justice on issues like legacy. They could be people who memorialize or keep up the graves of Irish patriots in like the Belfast National Graves or Tyrone National Graves, groups that work for ex-prisoners like ALU in Tyrone, cross-community groups. There's a boxing program that was given a grant, or a basketball team that was given a grant. There's cross-border. There's a group, Duchess Oriel, that works in South Armagh and in Dundalk, that area. Cross-community groups. We give a grant to the St. Patrick Center and to other groups like that, 15 in all, the Bally Murphy families, the Bloody Sunday Trust, 15 groups all together. And based upon need, based upon their applications, and this is money that is contributed separately and voluntarily by our members across the country. So we're very proud of that. This was a record for us, record number of grants, and we had members there from around the country actually handing out, making those presentations so that people could see this is something that the Ancient Order of Hibernians and LAOH do, but it's something that people around the country contribute and make possible, and that's what we did on a webinar. And we had some familiar faces. Somebody named Joe Doherty, and I just joked, I didn't recognize him without wearing an orange jumpsuit. That was a long campaign, Adrian, to free
my
Joe Doherty.
God, yes.
He accepted the grant on behalf of the Greater New Lodge Cultural Group.
You know, also, I think for people who might be somewhat aware of the troubles in Ireland, there are some legacy issues, you know, from family representatives of the New Lodge 6 victims named in recent ombudsman finding from South Belfast and the Derry killings. Plastic bullets killing children. Again, how can we forget something as drastic and as cruel and inhumane as that, and that this again to be swept under the carpet, so to speak. And, you know, again, it's 40 years later. If they can delay it even further, hey, there won't be, you know, it won't be a very strong case, because a lot of the witnesses to, you know, to the atrocities will probably not be available.
Adrian, we've met all of those groups. There was a very strong legacy program that was set up by Relatives for Justice while we were there. And a number of the groups that you've just mentioned came together, those mentioned in the Ombudsman's report, those mentioned in the New Lodge 6 have been waiting for an inquest since the early 70s. Other groups of plastic bullet killings, I witnessed one, the killing of Sean Downs in 1984. Carol Ann Kelly's brother spoke at the event. She was, you know, one of a young child killed just a few feet away from. And those stories, more than anything else, more than any talk that somebody like me could give, more than anything, just hearing those individual stories, what happened, their simple honesty and plea for the truth, for justice that anyone should be entitled to, and how, what they've had to go through, what the British have done to deny that truth and just to conceal and cover up their role in killings in the north of Ireland. Every time I hear one of those stories, it moves us, the particular people, the event in 1989 of the American citizen at the Battery Bar, that moves us very deeply, and I think that more than anything else is what is responsible, why there is so much Irish-American feeling, why there's so much Irish-American political activism around that issue, why 50 people were willing to go to Ireland, spend 10 days there doing fact-finding, and just bringing those facts back to the United States, bringing in the politicians in Ireland. That is what inspires us. That's what's motivated us. And if the British government thinks it can get away with an amnesty that people are going to forget, they just miscalculated this. They've miscalculated so many times in Ireland.
Martin Galvin, Irish political activist and prominent criminal defense lawyer, president of the Bronx Ancient Order of Hibernians, I want to thank you for indeed what has been a busy but interesting time well spent by the group of 50 Ancient Order of Hibernians who are still, well, some of them are on the way back now, but we want to thank you, Martin.
I'm actually in Tullamore. I'm near Rahim, where my family is from. You know, if I don't spend 2 days with my relatives before going home, all I hear is that Martin Galvin was in Ireland for 3 weeks, and he wouldn't even come and see us. You know that story, Adrian. How
listen, absolutely. And I think it's great. Yeah, but I think, Martin, that it's great that you have established that you have 2 days to, you know, to spend with your family, because, you know, just in case they think you'd be around for another 3 weeks hanging out with your relatives, you know, pretty good.
Well, I'll be back there early next week, Adrian. And again, we're working on this issue, and I can't get over how much inspiration I take, we all take, from the families that we met, and how grateful we were for the reception that we got from all of the political parties and from all of the political leaders. This is something Irish America is united behind, and I'm grateful for you for having it out on the Adrian Flannelly Show to let people know. That'll be the first big report that people get from the delegation.
Thank you. Thank you, Martin. And, okay, and we catch you when you come back. I'm delighted that this is such a successful trip.
So that's something we're talking about, ways to get discussions for Irish unity. So, Adrian, thank you again for having me on. And you've had such an important program for so many years, and I'm grateful that you put us on again with another important issue.
Thank you. Thank you, Martin Galvin. And friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide.